You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com. And by Laurelhurst Market, more than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning. Welcome to June. It's time for summer. It's go time.
Except for the fact that it's almost Rose Festival week, which means it's going to rain for 3 days or 4 days.
No. The forecast looks good. Looks to be warm. Rose Festival start tonight. Look, yeah. If you aren't going to the parade or are not going to the Timbers home opener tonight, they're finally home opening the new Providence Park. Don't want to be anywhere near downtown Portland.
Yeah.
One, there's going to be nowhere for you to park.
Right.
So, and two, there's going to be crazy people no matter where you go.
So on your phone, your GPS, it tells you how long it's going to take you to walk.
Pretty much.
So if you live in Beaverton, plan on 2.5 hour walk.
Exactly.
To downtown.
Yeah.
Which should be great.
So if you're not going to one of those events, then
get some steps.
Get some Twilight Golf in, your favorite course. That's kind of, you know, on the outskirts.
Yeah. Topgolf. You can go there at night.
You can go there at night.
Yep.
So, yeah, plenty of great places to go. Twilight Golf will be great on this Saturday evening. Little breeze. It'll cool off. It'll be fantastic.
Well, the weather, like you said, it's going to be good. It was good for the last couple of days. I got some golf in. Feels good to get out. Even did some yard work, took my shirt off. I'm trying to get rid of that golfers.
I know.
The neighbors complained. I had canine dogs surrounding the house.
Excuse me, fire department? There is an extremely sexy man next door.
Yes. The fire department did come down. They threatened to hose me down.
The water cannon there?
Yeah. It felt so good to be out in the sun and getting dirty. Pulling weeds and I stained a fence with my wife.
Wow. Wax on, wax off?
Actually, we did. It was stain on, stain off.
There you go.
So we've been trying to remove stains from this relationship for years.
I just imagine Harold sitting outside staining his fence or his deck with like a red bandana, shirt off, radio pumping, 92.3 KGON, hard rock music. He's got a tall boy of Pabst Blue Ribbon and maybe a heater in the left hand.
He's just got the Who going on a loop.
Of those six things you mentioned, let me explain five of them that were incorrect.
All righty. Well, you're back. You got back safely from Colorado.
Yeah, the weather was not as nice there as it was here. We didn't take our clubs. And good thing, because it was just, who wants to play in the cold weather?
No. Should be summer. Well, you won't have that issue here for the foreseeable future. We have a very, very busy show. Tyler Wong, Director of Player Development out at Sahali, is also very involved in youth development with the Oregon chapter of the PGA. He's going to join us in our tip segment at 8:30. And then in the business of golf, very excited, Joe Young, who's the national sales manager for Volvic Golf and their line of golf balls. He's going to join us at 8:45, learn a little bit more about their line of products there. And as they continue to kind of develop more lines and some fun things that they're doing too, trying to get that crossover, have some stuff that's fun, not just, you know, traditional.
We're really trying to break some perceptions of golf. And we have been for the last 5 or 6 years on every level, trying to break it up and not be quite so stodgy. There's nothing wrong with tradition. It's nice to have a history. But on the other hand, it doesn't appeal to everyone.
Well, and most of us are just going out there. We just want to have a good time playing on the course on the weekend. We'd like to get a little better, shoot a little lower score. So, but mostly we just want to have a good time and enjoy it.
I just want you to do it in a hurry. Get the hell out of
my way. Exactly. Find your golf balls easier with Volvic, too.
Yeah.
All right. That coming up at 8:45. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on the fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com.
All right, all the major tours are in action. European Tour has something goofy going on. It is called the Belgian Knockout. They are in Antwerp at Orinkvin International Golf Club. And we're trying to follow. It's on Golf Channel right now. It looks like normal golf. So they had 2 days of stroke play, and then they had two flights.
Right.
They trimmed it down to the low 32. Then they put them in a big bracket of 64. But rather than playing match, traditional match play, they have one-on-one, nine-hole stroke play, medal play sort of things. And they're paring it down from 64 to 16 today. That's the most I can discern from this.
Well, and I was relying on you to get into some detail there because you
All I know is the Austrian Bernd Wiesberger has been tearing it up. He is through to the round of eight. He played well last week when they were in Denmark.
Yeah. Well, but it's a format. The European Tour is, I give them credit. They are really trying to, do some different things, some fun things. This is interesting. They've run into a couple of problems they didn't anticipate. Like, what if most of your bracket ties?
Exactly.
So they have this, like, horse race. If you've ever been in a horse race for a member guest or something, everybody goes out at one time, and you're hitting balls, and there are balls everywhere, and you got to go, hey, wait a minute. He's away. You're not. And all this. It's kind of crazy. But they eventually got through it. And but they had like 8 and 10 way ties that they had to play off.
So yeah, in the stroke play part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
So would you like to see more different events for some of the regular? I mean, we have the team event in Zurich. I think we have a modified Stableford scoring system, the one out in Reno.
Right.
Would you like to see more kind of experimental formats?
Well, you don't want to turn the game into a gimmick, and you don't want to lose people watching, the viewership. If it gets too gimmicky and they don't understand the format, you're going to lose them. But on the other hand, you have to kind of mix it up a little bit. Did you watch any of the college?
I love the college format.
The NCAA championship.
Yeah.
I stuck in Colorado with some crummy weather. I just sat by the Golf Channel and watched. Congratulations to the Duke women and to the Stanford men. This was some exciting golf. And the reason I bring this up is I just love match play and this kind of format. It's fun to watch. And it kept my attention. Throughout. Now, I don't know if I'm kind of rare in that regard. Do you find match play?
Yeah, but you got the team environment there that's so tough to reproduce on a regular tour. The LPGA does it. They have their International Crown event. Right. I don't know if the PGA, there's a, I forget what that one event is, but it's in the off season and it's two-man teams. Then you play for your country internationally. But outside of the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup, I don't know how you could recreate that on a regular PGA Tour event.
Well, I think you could come up with something pretty exciting. And I have the idea.
No.
I hope the commissioner's listening because we are going to pick 16 captains. They are going to develop their own five-man teams.
There we go.
And now those teams will play in a match play situation. I think that would be fun. You could come up with some great teams here out on tour. And, you know, that would get the U.S. team and really ready for match play at the Ryder Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And the President's
Cup. Oh, that'd
be
fun.
Oh, I think it's a great format.
Yeah.
And I pat myself in the back for being
hopefully to Monahan's
brilliantly
listening.
Thinking of it.
Yeah, hopefully Jay Monahan's listening. Okay,
yeah,
quickly.
Sure
the Web.com Tour, Rex Hospital Open. This is one of the longtime events on tour. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Country Club at Wakefield Plantation. And all the buzz is about Chris Baker, his round of 60. It was on 59 watch yesterday, 11 birdies, no bogeys. He's now at 15 under. He's got a three-shot lead over Sebastian Kapellen out of Denmark. But Baker is kind of a veteran of the Web.com Tour. He's never really made it out onto the PGA Tour. He's looking for his first Web.com Tour victory. Played at Iowa State, but at 33 years old, one of those grinders still keeping the dream alive, trying to get out there. Our buddy Scott Harrington, who fulfilled his medical exemption, so he earned enough points, so now he's got back and got full Web.com Tour status. He's having a good week. He's 8 under par, tied for 12th, and so in contention, but he keeps climbing up. Mm-hmm. So if he can just put it all together for one big week, he could be finally in contention maybe to get his tour card when they get here to Pumpkin Ridge at the beginning of August.
Pretty incredible round played by Chris Baker. He kind of skanked a putt on the 18th hole. He actually parred the last three. Had six birdies in a row. This guy, you can make a living out in the Web.com Tour. This is his 131st start on the tour dating back to 2009. So Yeah, I'm going to make it a point to watch him when he comes to Portland. He's 27th, I guess, on the magical 25 that get their tour card. So a win here will put him in the top 25. That will big.
Yep, that'll be huge. If you get a victory, you're all but assured to be in that top 25, or you're certainly way ahead of the field the way that the breakdowns go on the prize money. Okay.
Right.
Well, the Champions Tour, after playing the senior PGA last week, they have moved on to Des Moines, Iowa, the Wakanda Club Principal Charity Classic. Scott Parel, who performed well last week, finishing in the top 10. He's at 9 under, 2 shots clear of Chris DeMarco. Billy Andre there at 6 under. Darren Clark, David Toms at 5 under. So another good-looking leaderboard. Jerry Kelly also in the group at 5 under with Woody Austin and Duffy Waldorf. And so there you go. And, but Parel, a very non-traditional, did not play college golf, had one of them regular jobs for the first part of his life, and didn't really played much, wasn't much to speak of on the PGA Tour, but...
So he was a non-Parel?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that? Isn't that like a candy?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Someone text in and let us know what a non-Parel is.
Exactly.
Okay.
But has had a couple of top 10s here recently, and so looking to get a victory there and keep going on the Champions Tour.
This is a really good-looking leaderboard, and these are names that most of us, you know, can recognize. Although we've got who won last week? That I can't pronounce his name. You're good at it, but a player who had been an outstanding amateur in Arizona for tons of years, and decided to go out on tour, and ends up winning. Broadhurst, I think.
No, Ken Tanigawa.
Okay. He decides, now he was out on tour for a short period of time, didn't make any money. I think it was about $8,000 is all he made in a couple of years. Went, got his amateur standing back, then came back out on tour, and he wins last week. So you're seeing a mixture of players who we all recognize from the tour and players who you just don't know where they come from.
So yeah, and that's one of the beauties of that Champions Tour.
It really is open for anyone who over 50 to qualify.
Exactly. If you've been in the game, but, you know, or you've, you know, just could never get out on the PGA Tour or the Web.com Tour, but kept your game in shape, kept your body in physical shape. Maybe you go into the business world or whatever and make enough money, and then you can give yourself another shot there when you turn 50 and go, you know, live out the dream later in life. It's one of the few rare opportunities to do that, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. It's kind of like the U.S. Open, the men's U.S. Open coming up in a couple of weeks, where it really is open. Mm-hmm. Your handicap has to be a certain level.
I can't qualify.
No, you, and neither one of us.
No.
I could because I'm a professional, but I don't have my handicap is a bit too high for it to even consider it. But if you're like, I think it's a 1 or a 2 or less, You can get out there and play and qualify through the section. I like the fact that it's still open. The British Open, they call it open. It isn't really. So the U.S. Open is going to be an exciting time coming up.
No question. Let's take a break here as that'll do it for Inside the Ropes. It's now brought to you by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. Royal Exteriors LLC. .com. When we come back, we'll get in the women playing the Women's U.S. Open at a new course, Country Club of Charleston. It's extremely hot down there in the Southeast, but a fair test. It's been an exciting leaderboard so far. We'll touch on that, as well as Hank Haney making a fool out of himself and the rest of the golf world responding in kind. The PGA Tour is at the Memorial. They're getting prepped. What an amazing leaderboard. As good a field you'll find in a regular PGA tournament. Jack Nicklaus has a lot to do with that. So we will get into both of those tournaments when we continue on here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. 819 here. Jason and Harold getting you ready for your weekend. Hopefully it will include some golf somewhere along the way.
Lots of great golf in Portland and
Vancouver
of great
golf.
Area.
I imagine I'll be out of Forest Hills on Sunday.
There you go.
I got a busy day today because I will be going down into the morass for the Timbers game tonight. So covering that. Got to see that. Got to see the new digs.
How are you getting there?
I'm taking Max. I'm not messing around.
Yeah.
There's no parking down there. It's so much easier to just take Max, and especially when the weather's good. If the weather's iffy, I'll think about going down and getting in a lot and walking, but.
Let's buy three blocks of Portland and put up a huge parking garage.
Yeah, no kidding.
So people can actually take advantage of our great city.
Exactly. Let's get back into it here. The U.S. Women's Open going on, the USGA picking a new course, Country Club of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. From all I can tell, they've been a great host. Everybody's having a good time down there. You have Darius Rucker is the... honorary host down there. He, of course, from South Carolina and is a huge. You'll see him out in a lot of the celebrity tournaments. Loves the game of golf.
Who is he?
He's Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker.
Okay, gotcha.
But anyway, Mimiko Higa is your leader, 6-under par. She had a 665 in the opening round, then played in the afternoon. Now, the only issue has been it's been getting steamy there in the afternoons, temperatures in the 90s, humidity way up. So everybody that played in the morning rounds, that's usually when they scored better. She came back with an even par round of 71. She's got a one-shot lead over Jessica Korda, 69-68. She's maybe played the cleanest golf, 6 birdies, 1 bogey. Celine Boutier, who won the first tournament of the year down in Australia, is at 5-under, 2 rounds in the red, 67 and 70. J-Marie Green, young American, tied with Lexi Thompson and So-Yeon Yoo in a group at 3-under par. Afahara Munoz, Jarena Pillar, NB Park, Minji Lee in a group at 10-under. So you have 18 players within 4 shots of the lead going into the weekend. And
the Americans are playing quite well. We were just talking about that. There's 8 Americans
in that top 18. Nelly Korda as well, 2-under par. And so this course, 6,600 yards, I think they stretch it out for the ladies. But you've seen they're doing all they can, and you hope the greens still look approachable. You're still going to have to bounce it in. They are firm and fast, but they're still green.
Right.
And this will be a big topic in a couple of weeks when the USGA takes over Pebble.
Well, the fairways are drying out, which makes it you can hit the ball a long way, but it can also roll into trouble. The greens are baking out a little bit. I'm sure they're working hard on that. Big story here is Gina Kim coming out of Duke helped her team win a national championship. She's an amateur, and she's only 2 shots back. She had the lowest round for an amateur in U.S. Women's Open history. That's pretty interesting stuff.
Well, and that's tough to do because they just had their championship a week and a half ago. So to go from that pressure cooker into the other pressure cooker that is the U.S. Women's Open.
She said it really helped her. She felt prepared to play.
Yeah.
She didn't go into the U.S. Open thinking that she was going to do anything great. Just wanted to have a good time and have the experience. And sure enough, she's playing some good golf. A couple other players that we had been watching, women in the last couple of weeks. What were the ladies from the Augusta National?
Well, Maria Fassi won the individual championship at the NCAA. And then Jennifer, was it Kupcho?
Kupcho, yeah. Correct. And these are their first rounds as professionals. Yep. They shoot 71, 72, respectively. Not bad for their first time out, but I think you got to look at Mamiko Higa. She tied the lowest score for in U.S. Women's Open history with a 65. That's a really good round. But like you said, she played in the morning.
Yep.
And those players that played in the afternoon, I think just only several were under par coming in. They'll flip things today, I think.
Well, they had to finish up. They had a little lightning delay yesterday. They had to finish up the second round this morning. So third round, looks like Jessica and Mamiko and Celine Boutier, they're going to go off in threes. They're trying to condense things. They will go off at 10:40 this morning Pacific time, so 1:40 p.m. So they're going to be playing in the heat of the day there. And so it'll be interesting to see. I like the fact that Jessica isn't making a lot of bogeys, very consistent, just one bogey on the card, three birdies each day. If she can keep up that consistency with her length and her ability to control, you know, as long as she can keep it in the fairways,
right,
she'll use that length and she'll be able to be having short clubs on her approach shots.
Well, her 68 on Friday was bogey free. So evidently she's hitting the ball pretty straight, hitting a lot of greens and making a couple of putts. Good to see her playing so well. This is a really good, fun leaderboard. The women deserve some credit for their hard work. And people like Hank Haney have to learn not to disparage them at all.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, he made a wise crack that didn't go well. One, it was about the LPGA Tour and then the Korean players. And I don't know if it was a poor attempt at humor or if he just got exposed for
who he is. Yeah, it's hard to say. There's this disparity between making a racist or sexist remark and actually being a racist and a sexist. And quite frankly, you're responsible for whatever comes out of your mouth, even though on some levels that doesn't necessarily hold true.
But no, the response has been great from the LPGA Tour as well as from several members of the PGA Tour.
Right.
I know both those tours are trying to work more closely together with the PGA and have a little bit more synergy and promoting the game overall itself. And so Hank Haney's been booted off his radio show from the PGA Network, and we'll see if he falls out of the limelight. As for the PGA Tour, it's Jack's tournament. The Memorial Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio. Troy Merritt, K.H. Lee, Martin Keimer, all at 9 under par. I think the story, though, Jordan Spieth continues his good play of late. 8 under, one shot back. This coming off back-to-back top 10 finishes, including what he did at the PGA Championship out of Bethpage Black. And he was asked post-round how close he is to having it all back together.
I'm just making minor adjustments to get it to where it's been when I was the best in the world tee to green, which is a couple years ago. So things get off, and then you figure out what they are, and then you work them back. For me, I didn't really figure out what it was for quite a while, and that's why it's taken me longer to get it back. But it's very close now and should continue to get better week to week.
Now, ESPN's Michael Collins joined SVP on SportsCenter last night, and he gave a little bit more direct insight as maybe why Spieth's getting it together.
You know what it is about Jordan? He doesn't look like he's getting frustrated with his bad shots anymore. And that is a complete result of him being confident with his putter. And now that he's confident with his putter and his short game chipping around the greens, remember on Thursday he chipped in twice. So I'm thinking this weekend, I'm not worried about Jordan whatsoever. And he's one shot back of the lead. So now I think he's kind of looking at this leaderboard going, yeah, I'm in the perfect position and I'm having fun.
Yeah, his putting has been up and down, though. Last week it was really great for three rounds, and in the last round he lost it. So putting is difficult, but I think his problem still is he's not hitting enough greens and fairways. Putting is always a streaky thing. I don't care who you are. There are very few players that are great week in and week out. You just don't have a lot of Brad Faxons out there who can putt, or the Ben Crenshaws who can putt that great every week. And even Tiger is a great putter. So, but the problem with Jordan Spieth is the rest of his game. His short game has always been good, but his long game is in question. And going into Pebble Beach, it's not going to be as long as Bethpage Black, but it's going to demand that you hit some good shots. And so he could have some problems there.
Well, we'll see how he does the rest of the weekend, but him building confidence going into Pebble would be a lot of fun. Great leaderboard. You've got Patrick Cantlay, Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler, all in a group at 7-under, Mark Leishman, Danny Willette, Andrew Putnam at 6-under. So this one should be fun. Tiger did make the cut, but he's only 2-under. He had a bad double bogey there finishing up his round on Friday.
Ooh, that was ugly.
Could have been, had he been at 4-under, he might have been on the fringes of making a run, but now he's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and I can't remember what hole it was. Wasn't it 17?
I think so.
Yeah, that he made that double. No, was it a double?
It was a double.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. A lot of bad chipping and just terrible around the greens. And then on 18, though, he almost dunks it, a chip shot. So a little bit of bad luck there. He's playing well. He was actually smiling, enjoying the day. He played with Bryce DeChambeau, who got dinged or almost dinged for slow play. He thinks it's unfair that he gets dinged for slow play. Well, what's unfair is that you deserve the reputation that you've earned.
Yeah. Well, that's those guys that overthink everything and have to analyze it. You got to be able to make those computations quicker. So.
Well, yeah, and he said this guy has got way too much going on in his head where he's, you know, humidity and this and that. Just hit the damn ball, will you?
Pretty much, pretty much. So that's what's going on the PGA Tour. We'll keep an eye. It's always a fun tournament there with the field that they have out there in Dublin, Ohio. When we come back, time to talk to Tyler Wong as we make the turn. We'll ask the pros. He's director of player development out at Sahali and working with youth player development for the Oregon chapter of the PGA of America. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with that youth development as we get ready for the summer and camps and tournaments and all sorts of stuff as we make the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:32 here on a Saturday. Sinner and Saint coming up next at 9. All sorts of fun stuff for them. Well, I don't know where they're going to go. You got NBA Finals. You got Timbers getting set to open things up. Oregon State is not defending their championship very well in the College World Series. I don't know where they're going to go. So you have to tune in at 9.
Have you watched any of the women's softball?
A little bit.
Yeah, really exciting stuff. Fun. That ball comes in, ladies, the way they pitch, I tried to underhand one. That's not possible. You need a lot of experience doing that.
And then later on this afternoon, it'll be Red Sox and Yankees baseball here on The Fan. We'll have game 2 of the NBA Finals here on The Fan tomorrow, 4 o'clock pregame, 5 o'clock tip. But right now, as we head out to the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, very glad to welcome back on the show Tyler Wong, who is out there at Sahali, out in Clackamas County, director of player youth development and instruction out there. Good morning, Tyler. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. The weather's getting good. Kids are getting ready to finish up school. And so for a lot of parents, that means getting them back out with either some classes, getting them on the course. And as we want to point them or alert parents as maybe what to look for if they're looking to get them more involved with some regular golf, how to go about finding instruction, what are the keys to doing that? I know you guys run a great junior golf academy out there, but when you have prospective parents who are coming to you and looking to get their kids involved in the game, what are some of the most important things you want to know before you start actually giving lessons?
You know, for me, I mean, the first thing is I want to give them an experience. I don't, you know, I think we've gone about junior golf and particularly getting kids initially into golf the wrong way for a long time, and we're starting to change that now. But just getting them out here, getting them a club in their hand and swinging a golf club and making it more of an athletic experience rather than maybe some people's perception of an old fuddy-duddy, you know, game or kind of some goofiness to it.
Well, it is. Golf can be a lot of fun. We, I know working with you in player development in Oregon, we put out a huge effort to get these kids involved. What kind of programs do you have for the juniors?
We've got a lot. We do a kind of a full-scale academy here. So we have junior camps. We have full-day junior camps, half-day junior camps. We have something that is actually called Junior Academy, which is a series of weekly classes that are intertwined with matches. We actually have our this afternoon, we have our final Junior Academy match for our spring semester. And our summer semester starts here in a couple weeks when everybody gets out of school. That's kind of what we do here. We do private lessons. We do introductory junior things. We have a cool little program that we just started this year called Little Swingers, which is for 3 and 5-year-olds. And we use Snag golf equipment, which is kind of really upgraded plastic golf clubs. We hit tennis balls or whatever, basically tennis balls, around our little chipping area down here, and just to kind of get kids involved, that first step, get them in the door, get them, you know, aware of what a golf club is, get them aware of where to stand and how to hold it, and kind of let them have at it.
I have parents come to me and grandparents, and they say, where should I get my kids started? Should they take a group lesson? Should they take private lessons? At what point do you direct them toward a private lesson?
Generally speaking, it depends a little bit on the skill or kind of the child's demeanor. I don't necessarily like to kind of give the general direction, mm-hmm. but when the kids have some skill and they can kind of get the ball airborne and forward, and they're kind of getting into that point where golf becomes competitive. I think that's an important part for private lessons, is that golf has to be competitive because they need to be self-motivated and have kind of the drive to shoot a lower score. Once that happens, I think it's okay to do private lessons. I'm a huge advocate for group lessons for kids. I think the fun, you know, peer motivation, the fun, you know, group element part of group instruction is how we're going to get kids addicted to golf and get them, you know, playing golf for the rest of their lives.
Tyler Wong, our guest, PGA Director of Player Development out at Sahale. He was the 2018 Oregon PGA Youth Player Development Award winner. And so in that regard, I think the other thing, too, though, is time. There are some parents, obviously, we see all the, you know, the helicopter parents, and you got to be out there and beating balls and practicing if you want to be as good as you want to be. When we get to summer for kids, and I think more in that maybe that 6 to 10-year-old range who maybe have had some fun out there, who have maybe had some group lessons, who know what they're doing a little bit. How do parents want to manage the time that their kids are out there on the golf course, whether they're practicing or playing? How much is enough? How much is too much? When do they need to watch out?
Well, I think I'm a huge believer in you know, late specialization for all sports, golf being no exception to that. So I don't, you know, I like to see kids, you know, out here and practicing and playing as much as they feel they can, but not overdoing it. There are some kids, and I was one of them, who I couldn't get enough. I had a little net that I set up in my backyard when I was in high school, and I'd be out there until my mom told me I couldn't hit balls because it was bugging the neighbors. But I think, you know, late specialization, you know, becoming an athlete, trying different sports, trying different activities like musical instruments or singing or, you know, speaking different languages, things like that, that can help golf development. It's a roundabout way, but it can help it. So in terms of, you know, the commitment level to golf for young kids, it's whatever it is, I think, to keep it fun, keep it exciting, and kind of prevent what is very common in you know, teenager golf or college golf is just the flat-out burnout scenario.
Tyler, you do a lot more than just work with kids. I know there's a lot done with adults. This is a tough question, but what is the main problem that that adults bring to you that you have to try and solve for them?
I think the perception of how hard how much of a commitment it is to actually get better. Mm-hmm. You know, golf is, as we all know, golf is it's a tough game to be elite at. It's a fairly easy game, I think, to have fun at. But it's very, very tough to be a very, very good player and shoot scores that are, go into that elite level. And I don't know if most adults, when they first start playing golf, if they start later in life, I think they see the ball sitting there on the tee or on the ground, not moving, and they think, well, this should be pretty easy. It's not like hitting a baseball or a tennis ball or anything like that. It's stationary, and I can get this thing airborne and forward, and maybe I'm a strong person, maybe you can hit it far. And kind of breaking down that perception and creating some ideas that skill is a big part of it, and rhythm is a big part of it, and the commitment to getting better and not just, hey, going out and trying to whack the ball and see how far you can hit it, and if it's 100 yards forward and 100 yards offline, well, let's see if I can make it 200 yards forward and 200 yards offline. That doesn't really make any sense if you look at it from another sports perspective. I think you have to make sure that you kind of create this environment as an instructor, as a coach, or if you're just helping out a friend, to make sure that they understand what it takes and how to get better and not just go along this discovery path of hoping and trying things they look up on YouTube or Instagram or anything like that.
Great, great nuggets of instruction there. There's a lot more. If you're interested in finding out more about Tyler, you can email him, TylerWong@nwgolfacademy.com. You can go out to Sahali out there in Clackamas. They got a great little setup out there in Clackamas, and you can check it out. It is SAHHAH.com to find out more about the golf course there. Tyler, thanks so much for taking a few minutes for us this morning, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Tyler Wong there, really calm. He's great with kids, obviously, winning the award last year from the chapter, and but really knows his stuff when it comes to golf.
He's a really good instructor for adults and for kids, and he's certified in a number of different methods of teaching. So he doesn't just teach everyone the same way. He addresses the student in front of him and does a wonderful job at it.
So thanks to him. Coming up next, time to talk the business of golf. We'll focus on the golf ball. Volvic making all sorts of different lines of golf balls now. We are going to talk to Joe Young, who's the national sales manager for Volvic. When we return, it's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the business of golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:45 here. Golf in the Northwest against Sinner and Saint coming up at 9 o'clock. And then we've got Red Sox-Yankees baseball for you this afternoon here on The Fan. But joining us now on the MVP Home Loans.com Guild Hotline, very pleased to have the National Sales Manager for Volvic Golf, Joe Young, who I believe I was told you're hanging out in Chicago there. Is that home for you, Joe?
Yes, it is, and oh my goodness, it's raining again.
Well, as somebody from the Pacific Northwest here, it is sunny and going to be close to 80 degrees today, and usually at this time of the year, we get teased by all that rain going on just before summer. So we encourage you to come to the Northwest, play some great golf courses out here, but before you do, let's tell everybody a little bit about, I think people are familiar maybe with seeing the Volvic, the different colors of the Volvic golf ball, which might be the most signature piece of it, but let everybody know a history of the company and how they got involved in the golf ball market.
Well, this is our seventh year in the United States, but in actuality, it is our 40th anniversary as a golf ball company. And we are one of the most patented golf ball companies in the world. We have over 60 international patents. We have two of our own manufacturing facilities in South Korea. We currently have two distribution centers in the United States, one outside of Los Angeles and one in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, we have been making colored golf balls for decades, so this is not new to us. About 3 or 4 years ago, we introduced the match, and that's the ball you're referring to, the Vivid. And that product was the product that really let U.S. golfers take notice the color. And the colored market has been doubling every year ever since.
Hi, how are you doing this morning, Joe? You were breaking up just a little bit there, so I'm hoping we're catching most of it. There's a number of different golf balls that you offer for players. Can you run down very quickly which golf ball should the really good player play, and what's the average player? What should he look at to play?
Well, we make many models of golf balls. We make two-piece golf balls, three-piece golf balls, four-piece golf balls, non-urethane covers, urethane covers, a Whirlwind Drive XT. Now, our newest iteration of our tour ball, the S4 and the S3, has recently, last month, made the Golf Digest Hot List. And the S4 is a 90 compression, four-piece urethane product. The S3 is a three-piece, 80 compression urethane product. And usually our better players or those used to using urethane-covered products will migrate over to the S3, S4. Then we have the Vivid XT, which is a very high compression, four-piece golf ball. It's the official golf ball of the World Long Drive Tour. So all the long drive events, in fact, we have one coming up this week in Atlantic City, the Bash on the Boardwalk. All of those players will be playing the Volvic XT golf ball. We also have the Vivid Soft, which is a lower compression, 65, urethane three-piece golf ball.
Nope. Did we lose Joe?
Yes.
There you are, Joe. Sorry about that. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Maybe we can put him on hold real quick there, Will, and see if we can get a little better connection. He was about to talk about the soft there. Joe Young joining us, Volvic Golf. Volvic.com, .au is the website. And Will's going to work real quick, see if we can get him back. I think we got him. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. A little trouble with the connection. But you were talking about the soft ball there for Volvic.
Yes, the new Vivid Soft. It's a matte finish urethane. In fact, the only matte finish urethane covered ball available. Three-piece, 65 compression. I love it. I'm a middle-aged guy, used to playing the urethane product, but can't quite compress a tour ball.
Well, and I think the thing, you talk about the matte finish with the colors, and I think there are some people, the traditional golfers, that are maybe put off thinking it's going to respond differently. This isn't the traditional white golf ball. I'm not going to know what it's going to do, but there's been significant technology, and just because it's colored, it's not a gimmicky ball. These are just as performance-laden golf balls as you're going to find anything that's being played on the tours, correct?
Oh, there's no question. We make performance golf balls in a large variety of color. And you've seen more and more great players adopting color. It's easier to see. And once you get accustomed to using a colored ball, it's very hard to go back to play a glossy white.
Joe, can you explain, we mentioned two-piece, three-piece, and four-piece golf balls. I know for a lot of our listeners, they think, well, what's the difference between a two-piece and a four-piece? What's the advantage to having more covers on it?
Well, a two-piece ball is a basic golf ball. Tends to have very little spin. And that would be across your bag from driver also down to the wedges. And as generally, as you increase in coverage, the ball spins more off of an iron. So they're more expensive. They're more expensive to produce and they're higher performance.
Gotcha. So now you've got this this Vivid XT and you've got a long drive contest coming up. My co-host is a smash in the trees.
Hey, easy, easy.
So now that long drive golf ball, everybody wants to hit the ball further. Would this be a golf ball for the average player, or should we just let those big muscular people use it?
Yeah, it's a very high compression. It's nearly 100 compressions, so you have to get the golf club head moving, you know, well over 100 miles an hour to use that ball successfully. That ball is meant to do one thing, go a long way.
Joe Young, our guest, National Sales Manager of Volvic Golf. Now, I also know you guys have something new here that came out. You did a deal with Marvel with their a new film, Avengers, where you've done some custom golf balls, a four-ball set series. And this is something, you know, we were talking with some junior golfer instructors earlier on the show, just making the sport more fun. And this is something that you guys, is this something that's worked well and you're looking to kind of do more specialty sorts of things outside the traditional world of golf?
Yes, we recently signed a licensing arrangement with Marvel, and we started shipping Marvel golf balls, you know, the Hulk, Spider-Man, Captain America, just in the last several weeks. And oh my goodness, we can't keep them in inventory. It is something to see. And, you know, our golf balls, the colored golf balls, have been used a lot with junior camps and leagues. You know, you get a lot of juniors out there, and, you know, each junior has a different color ball when they play. Mm-hmm. It's just a little easier for them to get started and so forth. But the Marvel, as soon as they hit the shelves, they are out the door. And we started with just logoed golf balls and hat clips and gift packs and things like that. And there'll be a whole slew of supporting products that are going to hit the market here shortly. So it's been absolutely fantastic for us. As you know, the movies and the brand has been just going crazy this spring. So we're very happy to be a part of it and looking forward to a nice future with Marvel.
Joe Young, National Sales Manager for Volvic Golf. How can people find out more about the golf balls? Maybe go test the different kinds, see which one works best for their game. What's the best way to get that information?
Well, we're in thousands of retailers and golf courses all over the country. You could go to our website for more detailed information, volvic.com, or call our 800 number down in Orlando, and we'd be happy to help you.
There you go, Joe Young, National Sales Manager, Volvic Golf. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes this morning with us, Joe, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the road.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good summer.
All right, you too. Joe Young, National Sales Manager for Volvic Golf there. And, yeah, don't be intimidated by the colors anymore. The technology and what they're doing with all of the different materials that they're using to make golf balls now, I know some people think it's gimmicky, but no longer. And it's true. I mean, you see Bubba playing with a colored ball.
Right.
And for some, it's a lot easier to, especially if you play at twilight at dusk, you can lose that white ball in the horizon pretty easily.
We're just making golf more fun overall. And I was surprised to find that Volvic's been around for 40 years. That surprised me. And only 7 in the U.S. You're not around 40 years unless you're producing a quality product. So, again, don't let those colors scare you off. As a matter of fact, the kids love them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the old people, you can keep playing your white golf ball, but, you know, those of us who are young at heart want to have a colored golf ball out there and have a little fun with it.
There you go. So thanks to him. Thanks again to Tyler Wong, Director of Player Development out at Sahali, for joining us as well. Next week, we will start to get in and break down how the U.S. Open field is shaping up for Pebble Beach. And maybe a little bit on the players and the USGA and the friction that has festered behind the scenes for a number of years, hoping that won't overtake what could be just an unbelievable event at Pebble in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I think it's going to be a great event. We're looking at Brooks Koepka being able to win three in a row. That would be unbelievable.
It'll be a fun one. Watch the Memorial this week as well as the U.S. Ladies Open. They're on Fox, so Fox 12 Oregon will have that for you, I think, starting at 11 a.m. this morning. That's going to be a great event as well. Thanks to Will, as always. He'll be with Luke coming up center in the Saint next. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit him straight. It's not right. Like he's just sitting around sleeping all day. But.